From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody. Rob Cairns here. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas at Stunning Digital Marketing. In today's podcast, I sit down with Derek Asher, and we talk about life as a WordPress developer. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. And today I'm here with my guest, Derek Asher. How are you today, Derek?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
And thanks for joining me today. It's always great to have conversation with people in the community. We have a vast and a growing community, which is amazing, right?
Absolutely. I've been enjoying being more involved in it and going to my first WordCamp this year in 2023 and meeting some wonderful people in the space.
Which one did you go to? Can I ask?
The DC one.
So WordCamp US.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like one of the flagship ones. So that must have been really fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. I was hesitant at first, but was actually found it pretty easy to dive in and talk with people and meet some great people. So it was a great weekend.
I didn't get to any major WordCamps this year. Toronto didn't have one. Closest ones were Buffalo and Rochester. And my weekends have been accounted for like from here to eternity. So, and DC just wasn't, we were away that week, so it wasn't quite fitting into the plan. So next year's another year. So glad you got to one. I like to start with a fun story, and I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you what your WordPress origin story is, and how did you find WordPress and how did you get into it?
Well, as I've been joking with my wife, I blame my now COVID brain, or it's my age, I'm not sure. But it's actually been so long that I don't really know the exact details of it. I think if you look at my WordPress.org profile, I think it's 17 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was 15 or 17 years ago. So it's hard to say. I mean, it was a time when I was making static HTML websites, and I had made a little thing called Ash News. It was a way to do to add a news thing, like a blog basically for my clients. It was all static files though. So something really simple, they could log in, create something, it would create a static file for each post and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then I think just in doing research for that or trying to build, I think I stumbled across, and I was like, oh, well, I don't need to reinvent this wheel. Let me just start using WordPress. So it was, you know, quite a long time ago. So I think it's probably early 2. Something, I think, is probably some of the versions that I remember. So somewhere along those range, but it was mostly to kind of solve a problem for clients at the time, because that's my entire focus was making sites for clients then.
Isn't it amazing how many of us stumble onto WordPress to solve a problem we've got? Like in my case, it was, you know, it's funny. It was, I'm like the tech source in my family. I'm also the photo guy in my family at family events. And it was an easy way to take pictures and put them up on the web instead of writing HTML code to do it and saying, here, guys, go get your pictures because I'm not sending them to you anymore. It's just not happening. And that's, you know, it's always us trying to solve a problem that we've got that usually propels us into this black hole that turns into a business, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a great segue into doing like products, because that's what all my products that I've made thus far were a direct result of a client or just myself as a developer being like, I wish this was available, or searching, I can't find this. There's nothing out there that's great or works how I want. So then I was like, well, I can just make it. And that's kind of how I eventually got into starting to make products.
So let's jump right into that space. So you decided a long time ago to get out of the freelance build, that hamster wheel, and get into products. So why did you make that move, and kind of what are you working on right now?
Right. So my journey has been actually a long time coming. I haven't fully got into products until I would say this year, and I'm even not 100% there yet. About 11 years ago, I started, it was for my, now ex-wife, but she was a photographer. And at the time there was really only one installable solution or one real solution that any photographer could use to, do a family or wedding session, put those photos on a website and sell them and do online sales. There's about one decent one. And at the time I think it was like $500. And for her just getting started, that was a massive investment to do something like that. And, the age old thing, I was like, I'll get that to you in 6 weeks. I can do something like that. Pretty simple. And I, was doing WordPress at the time. And I was like, I think, WordPress solves a lot of the problems for me. Let me build on WordPress. I can get something probably working pretty quickly in about 6 weeks. And then, of course, 6 months later, I kind of had a decent, fully fledged working system. And put that out there. I mostly was solving a problem for her at the time, and kind of using her as guidance of what it should do, what it shouldn't do, all that kind of good stuff. And then I was just like, well, I could put this out there. And if I made $500 a month, on this, let me sell it for, trying to figure out how much to sell it for. I originally started selling it really high. And because I only wanted to get a couple people at a time, I'd never done a product. I'd never had anything out there. So I priced it pretty high, especially for the time. It was even compared to now, it would be, I think, kind of a high price. But that was what I did. And it started making about $500. I got to 1,000 pretty quick within a few months, and then making a couple thousand from it. And all of a sudden it was just like, oh, maybe I can get to 1,000. Maybe I get to 2,000. Maybe I get to 3,000. My original goal was blown out the water. And it got me kind of excited about that idea. The downside was that I was still mostly doing client work. And while it was growing and doing some stuff, I never really did any marketing. That wasn't my forte. When I was doing client stuff, it was custom design and building websites, but I wasn't doing much marketing work for clients. And so it was just constantly having to do new projects, new builds, new, all that kind of stuff. So, and that was making, I was making great money doing that. It was probably 80% of my income, even 90% of the time, maybe was client work. 10% was the product. But to really maintain it and build it, it was going to need a lot more time. So eventually did kind of stagnate. I got to a level and then it just kind of hung out there. And kind of sat there, went through some personal stuff. As I mentioned, she was my ex-wife. So, personal challenges and other things. So balancing all different types of things, what client work needs and what a product needs are two separate things. And, some different skill sets and regards. And then they also need both a lot of time. There's not too much marketing overlap between
the two.
And how do you balance that time between the two, and then
deal with your personal life, which is
exactly
another story. I mean, I made a decision long time ago that I don't like to do new builds. That said, I'm working on a massive e-commerce build right now for a client who's actually one of my best friends. So that's kind of an exception to the rule. And I didn't dive right into products. I actually dove into the security side of WordPress.
Right.
So I have over 400 clients on retainers, and all I do for them is backup, security, and lock down their sites and host. Yeah. That's it. So it's kind of somewhere in between, because it's not really freelance work, but it's not really product work, if you get what I'm saying. It's in that middle ground.
It's almost like what I guess some would term a productized service.
Yeah, basically.
In some ways.
But it's interesting. You mentioned the personal challenges. I want to dive in there for a minute if I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
The hardest part of working for yourself, the mental health side sometimes, and I've been that journey. So, and I've talked about it very open on this podcast. I went through a bad relationship with 10 years. I went through a divorce in the last 3 years. I finally have a partner in my life who's absolutely lovely. I'll say that very much so. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Liz, for that. But the mental health side is a problem in our space. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. My challenge is, I think there's some people that will struggle with the isolation and being on their own and stuff like that. I have a personality where I love that. My wife, you can see behind me, that's her desk. We work in the same office and we'll come together at the end of the day and it'll be like, she'll be like, so what did you do? And I like we were in completely, we might as well have been in completely different buildings in a different city. Because my world is literally this little 3-foot space around me. When I'm working, I don't hear or see much of anything else. And I'm okay with that. I often joke, you could stick me in a basement in the dark for 10 hours and I would be perfectly just as happy as if I was sitting in a bright room and, you know, having people around. That's just how I am. But I think the bigger challenge is the balance of how much time to spend on your business versus time spending with those people that you do care about. Mm-hmm. I would say in the past, I was a single sole provider in previous relationships, and that I came with a lot of weight. It was really hard to do that. It was, I got to keep making money every month. I got to do this. And so when I woke up, my first thought wasn't, hey, how are you doing? It's, how is my business doing? And some mistakes that I learned because that financial aspect was a scary thing, being the only one for my wife and two kids and a house and the car and all that stuff. I just let myself get to a point where I was, maybe could have done things differently. And learn from that and grow from that at this point.
It's so true. And it's that hamster wheel, right? It's like, I got to work. I got to provide. I'm worried about where the next job comes from. It's one of the problems freelancers have. It's the old feast or famine, because we all know freelancers are great designers and developers. They're not good marketers, and they don't market themselves well. I think I'm a little bit of an exception to that. I run an agency and I spend half my time marketing for clients instead of on the WordPress side, so that I discovered really on that I needed to learn how to market stuff I was doing. So that's why I went there. And it puts me in a bit of a different wheelhouse, but it also means I'm not chasing that hamster wheel of worrying about next week where things are going to come from, because I've got 400 security clients in the can. So I don't worry that way, the way a lot of people do.
Yeah. I think, some of my mistakes looking back and when I was in the client freelance space and really focused on that was, I did great work and I'm proud of the work that I did. I did great designs, great builds, and really happy with the stuff that I did for clients. But that's what I really knew. And so I kept doing it. And then clients would refer me. And, there was not much selling that I needed to do. I did no marketing, purposeful marketing. I woke up one day literally and was ranking number one for San Diego web design back in 2007. Let's put some context. That time SEO was very different than it is now. Because of some free PHP BB themes that I had done 5 years earlier and had like 10,000 backlinks to my website because I was on all these forums and my free themes. When I was in college working and doing random stuff, I made some free things teaching myself, built all these backlinks, and then suddenly it kicked in and I ranked number one. I went from doing, working at a company, at another company, and then 2 months later after that, working for myself. I didn't purposefully choose to start a full freelance or agency business. I never really had to learn how to do marketing. It just accidentally happened. I'm incredibly thankful and appreciative of the luck that I got. I mean, quote unquote luck. I did the work. I, did some stuff, put it out there for free and, kind of stuff. But I never learned marketing. It just kind of happened. you know, for me. And then those clients then referring each other, and it went great for like 12, 13, 14 years or so. It definitely declined over the last 5 years or so for me. But one of the things was because of that, because it came so quick, I always had in the back of my mind, it could disappear just as quickly. My model at the time was I wanted to diversify. When I was doing client work, I wanted to diversify by having a product. That's why I was open to starting Sunshine Photocart, which is the plugin that I made for her, the photography plugin. And then my other idea was what I guess now you would call like a niche site. I wanted to do like a little e-commerce site. Those are my, you know, my kind of holy trinity of things to diversify was how was my idea to kind of to be more, I can't think of the term right now, but to be a little bit more robust to, you know, if the client work disappeared, I still had these two other things and so on and so forth. I never really considered marketing as the way to prevent that from happening or things that I've learned over the years of having, you know, in the product space we've learned, or even in the service space of having recurring income, such as, you know, a maintenance or management plan and things like that. It didn't dawn on me to do those things to build up a more long-term, easier business to manage, you know? So those are some of the mistakes I definitely made. And, you know, I had, you know, a couple hundred clients over those years, and I don't have a single one on a, I guess, on what you would call a traditional maintenance plan. I got them on hosting, but I didn't do a maintenance plan. It never made sense to me. I have all kinds of opinions on maintenance plans. That's not really the topic we're going in here today. But, you know, so, you know, I do have some recurring income on the hosting side, but not on the, you know, recurring service side. And just for me, honestly, after doing it for, you know, I got into, you know, I worked for a company right out of college in 2003. So it's now 2023. It's been 20 years of doing websites for other people. And I just am ready to have a different challenge. Just, you know, we all know what comes with, you know, doing client work, and it's just, I'm just exhausted on it. Have some great clients and enjoy them and still work with them, you know, doing some stuff here and there, but yeah, doing the custom builds, doing all the kind of stuff. I'm ready to build my own thing in my own world and work on one thing as opposed to having to switch between 20 different websites over the course of a week. I only have to deal with one or two different websites now that are my own. So it's a lot nicer.
Not so bad. I wouldn't call those mistakes, Derek. I'd call those learning opportunities. I don't mean to be negative. I think you've learned from things you've done in the past and what you like, and it sounds like you got a good handle on what works and what doesn't work. So I consider those opportunities. That's the first thing. In terms of, you said you like challenges. So I'll throw something out there. I'm a big fan of a hockey player by the name of Ken Dryden. For those who don't know, he was a legendary hockey player who won 5 Stanley Cups with Montreal, 4 in a row, was an all-star, a Hall of Famer. But Ken Dryden was never built on playing hockey. He was built on challenge. He was a lawyer. He was a hockey player. He was a cabinet minister in federal cabinet in Canada, in the federal government. He teaches, he's in his 70s now. He teaches poli-sci at McGill, and he's an author. How's that? And by the way, president of Toronto Maple Leafs in the middle of all that mess. So how's that for challenge? I mean, there's a man who's not driven by money. He's driven by challenge in the world. And I hear some of that in you. It's not just about the money. The money will come. It's about that challenge to keep you going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I see what you're saying. For me, honestly, I think it's more of, I'm not afraid of challenges. I'm not afraid to dive into some things. I'm willing to try. The marketing thing is a whole other beast. You know, I'm still on the edge and trying it, but I'm willing to take a shot and do that. And I've enjoyed getting into it the more I do so, as I build some momentum on it and put a couple days in a row where I focus on marketing and actually find, okay, this feels good. I like this. This is enjoyable. Yeah. I would say what for me, having had certain things happen in my life, I am more focused on building a life and a work life as well that is around doing something that I enjoy. And finding that because of my experience of, you know, what that felt like to wake up every day and be terrified and fearful of, you know, that maybe all this money could go away. And, you know, you get to a point where you're making a decent amount, but I would rather build a lifestyle, because I don't like living in fear every day and being nervous and scared. It's not a fun way to live. Even if I was making millions of dollars, I think I still would have had that fear regardless. And so being more purposeful of, you know, waking up every day and being excited for what I'm working on is what kind of is my compass of which direction I should go. And why I kind of woke up and realized that when every day and I get an email from a client, and great client, great person, but I see it and I just go, oh, you know, have that kind of reaction that gives me the clear sign of where I'm at in my life. And just being like, that's clearly not something I want to be doing. Where when I wake up and, you know, right before this call, I got a, you know, an email from a customer, and it was, you know, I maybe misunderstood their request a little bit of what they were asking. They're asking for a certain feature, and they replied with all caps being, why did you read my email? Why did you not understand what I was asking? And that just, even that type of email is just like, yeah, that's fine, whatever. You know, yeah. But a client requests, hey, I'm interested in doing some SEO. Can you give me some information? And I just go, a very simple question makes me kind of drop my head, and a challenging, kind of maybe aggravating email doesn't bother me. Kind of tells them I'm more in the right space, that I'm perfectly fine in, because I'm happier. I'm appreciating what I'm waking up every day. I have no problem. You know, I wake up and love answering my support tickets and then diving into some marketing, doing some coding. And so I'm much more purposeful about that, about what I'm doing, because it then allows me when I'm done to then be happy and to be present with my kids, to be present with my wife now, and just be cool. This is great. I love it. I'm not worried about anything at the end of the day.
No, I would agree. It's a good place to be. Before we jump into the product space, because we're going there, I have to ask you, have you ever fired a client?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Those are great days.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I started this morning off by telling a client I wasn't renewing their support contract, and here's a list of reasons why. And they had 2 months to get their site off my server.
Yeah. I mean, I've had ones where it's been there was no problems, there was no friction. It was just clear that they had outgrown the direction and what I wanted to do. I'm not a big, oh yeah, we need a new landing page for this. Yeah, whatever. You know, those types of things, you know, don't excite me in any way. And so I was just like, you know what, let me find you a better person. So, you know, firing wasn't, you know, maybe is not the most accurate term in that regard. It was just, you know, let me find you a better person who can really take you to the next level where you want to go. But I've definitely had some where, you know, it clearly wasn't the right fit for personality wise and other things. And they accidentally caught, you know, they hit reply and then added a person to the conversation and then had some complaints and being like, Derek's not doing exactly what I say and all this kind of stuff. I'm not sure. And I was just like, you know what? I don't think this message was intended for me. Sounds like you're not happy. Let's just part ways in the middle of the project. And they're like, wait, no. I'm like, no, I'm sorry. I'm done. This is clearly not the right thing. There's just times when you kind of have to let go of that one client that's causing 80% of your stress. And I've had a few of those where you just kind of realize that over the years, you kind of learn to just kind of be like, no, I know where this is going. I see the telltale signs, and I've not hired clients as a result of that. You know, I pre-fired them because they were ready to sign a contract, you know, a $5,000-$10,000 project. They were ready to go. They were like, send me the agreement. And I was just like, no, I'm not. I've seen this. I know where this is going to go. I know how this is going to affect me. And I know that this isn't worth the money. But that goes towards being in a space where I'm not desperate for that money. I don't need that money at that moment. So I understand that there's a lot of people that may not be in that space, and it takes quite a few years. Like I said, I've been doing client work for, you know, I've been self-employed since 2007. I've been doing it since 2003. I've had a lot of time to get to the point where I can let go of those clients a little easier than when I could have at that time.
It's not worth the mental health space or the aggravation. So let's jump into product spaces, because that's kind of where you've taken your direction. Mm-hmm. You've made that choice, which isn't a bad choice. A lot of people I know have gone that way. What are you working on now, and what products have you built?
Yeah. So my first and my, you know, my flagship product is called Sunshine Photo Card. It's the first one that I made a while back. It is a comprehensive e-commerce plugin for WordPress, but specifically for photographers. So it's not something that integrates with WooCommerce. It's its own ecosystem. One of the reasons why that is because I started it 11 years ago. It WooCommerce wasn't even really a thing. It didn't even exist at the time. I actually built it based off Jigoshop, which was the primary e-commerce plugin in WordPress. I cloned or copied Jigoshop and then started from there, you know, pulled some things out, added some things. And that there's, you know, there was even some code from actual Jigoshop in my plugin as of, you know, a few months ago. I did a complete rewrite for Sunshine Photo Card 3, which came out early September. So that was a complete rewrite from scratch, because again, it was, it had 10-year-old code in there. So it was time to update it. But that's my primary thing. So photographers just have a little bit of a more unique workflow. We're trying to add it onto WooCommerce. Isn't the ideal workflow. It's something I've considered, but yeah, but that's my main flagship product and being in there. My other plugins are some other things, because that's such a massive plugin. It's an entire e-commerce ecosystem that I code and support and market all on my own. It's a lot. It's a huge code base and all this kind of stuff. So I kind of went the opposite direction with some other ones that I've done and kind of took from client work. There was one of my plugins is a confetti plugin, which was for a client site. They were just trying to stand out, be a little bit unique. I had run across, seen some confetti on some other sites. While I was working on that, I think I purchased something from another retailer, online retailer, and this little confetti thing exploded. I'm like, oh, that'd be fun to do it on that client project. So I built something so I can make, so I made that work on their WooCommerce site. A little confetti thing would pop up whenever someone would make an order. And I was like, that's kind of fun. And I was like, well, you know what? I think within a couple of days, I could turn this into a just plugin. And yeah, I did. It only took a little bit of time. So I turned that into a plugin. Integrates with a whole bunch of form plugins, LMS plugins, e-commerce plugins, so that you can just have this fun little confetti effect after any kind of conversion that you have on your site. Just kind of help separate things. And then interesting enough, from that exact same product, they had some custom stuff that they needed made to do addresses. They're creating contacts on their site, and they wanted it to do like an address autocomplete. But because mine was a custom thing, there wasn't just a WooCommerce plugin that I could just address autocomplete that I could do. I had to do my own. And then I realized, well, I could build this in a way so that you could add address autocomplete to anything. And so that's literally what the name is, address autocomplete anything, with, you know, a pretty simple configuration. It does some automatic integrations with WooCommerce as well, and some, you know, there are other form plugins and things like that. So there's some automatic integrations, but you could do it to anything within the WordPress space that has a form or anything that you need for your project. Just kind of helps speed it up. So those are my three paid plugins that I have, and then I have some, you know, future ideas that I'm throwing around and looking to do as I continue to grow, but. You know, nothing as big as an entire e-commerce platform, because that's a pretty big one. But just kind of, you know, finding the balance in some smaller ones. So those are kind of my ideas at the moment.
Running a plugin shop is hard work. One of my good friends is Mark Westgaard. You might know Mark.
Yeah. I talked and chatted with him and hung out with him at WordCamp US quite a bit, actually.
He's such a lovable guy, and he's developed. Absolutely. As far as I'm concerned, the best form plugin in the ecosystem. It's so easy to use. I'm actually taking his plugin right now and implementing Cloudflare Turnstile on a website as we speak, because it has spam problems. to say the least. But yeah, Mark's a good friend, so you know, and he'll talk about the same challenges of building a successful plugin, and very much similar, and it's hard work. In the photo, your flagship plugin, how many page users would you have? Can you share, or would you rather not?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think there's, you know, we can only estimate, but I think I have about 1,800 using the free plugin because it's a freemium model. And then I have over 400 using my pro version of mine, which, so it's a freemium model like WooCommerce, and that has a bunch of add-ons, the pro bundle being you get all the add-ons. So there's about 400 doing that. I would say about 5 to 7% buy individual add-ons from that one. But I price it in a way to have it be like, yeah, it makes sense to just get the whole thing. So I have about 400 going on there. Yeah.
Stayed away from lifetime pricing? Have you said I'm not going down that road, or is that something you've considered?
Yeah. So early September, I launched Sunshine Photocart 3, which again was the whole recode from scratch. And I did introduce some lifetime there just to try it. I kind of was curious to see how it is. Yeah. There's all kinds of models and methods and things that can work. What does work, what doesn't work for you. And I think there's no one way to say this works and every WordPress plugin should do this. I simply don't think that's true. I think everyone works in their own space, whether it's, you know, GiveWP doing nonprofits or paid membership pros doing memberships and things like that, or Lift Your LMS doing, LMSs. Those type of people come at it from a certain angle certain space. And so what works for one market, that model isn't going to work, in my opinion, isn't going to work for the other. So it's great to hear what everyone's saying. I love listening to, the WP Product Talk podcast as well to get some great ideas. I think that's a great one. I get all kinds of ideas listening to that one. They do a great job. And it's great as a place to learn and experiment with and see what can work for you specifically. So I'm trying lifetime licenses. I look at how long my average customer uses it. For example, what I look at is photographers. I get the photography space gets a lot of people who want to, who want to become a photographer and want to do it professionally. Maybe they are doing it on the side. Maybe they're a stay-at-home parent, or it's kind of a side thing. They get a nice camera. They want to turn it into a business. It's a very common path for someone to start doing, family portraits. They do it for their church, all this kind of stuff. It's a story I heard over and over and over again from my ex-wife. That's, and her friend and other people that she knew in the industry and all this kind of stuff. It's a very common thing, but it's because it's a hobbyist. Oftentimes it's a hobby model for, I wouldn't say every photographer that does that. Not all my customers are that model, but it's a very common path. It's low profit margins. They're just getting started. They're doing things. And so for that type of thing, a freemium model is a great way to get in. You get them in there, help them make some money, and then really advertise to them within the plugin itself and get them to upgrade. I've seen a lot of great success in that, in that path of getting them in there. The photography space in general, I've talked to some of my customers, it's not a high profit margin industry. You're not going to find very many millionaires that are doing wedding portraits or, family portraits. They can make good money. They can feed their family, have a house, have a car, and do all that kind of stuff. But it's not an industry where you're going to have someone making $500,000 a year very often. Yep. So as a result, they're very... Yeah, they're very, very cost conscious group. So they want to find efficiency. So they'll, have some people say, don't use coupons. It cheapens your brand. It sets the precedent. But when 75% of your audience is very cost conscious and they're their business is working on slim margins, they have to be conscientious of where they can save money. Mm-hmm. I would say my experience, I kind of did a race to the bottom and kind of, you know, was racing my competitors to the bottom and meet those slim margins and meet on volumes. But as a one man business, I can't compete on volume is something that I've learned. That's not where I can find success. But the great thing is about me being by myself, I don't need 5,000 customers. I have 400 now. If I had about 600, I would pay my bills. I would be able to live comfortably on that. I'm not quite there. I don't have too much further to go to be 100% self-sufficient off of just this product. But I only need 600 because I can price it in a way where I'm getting limited stuff, where I'm getting limited support, or having to offer limited support, a limited amount of support, not the quality of my support, because I only have so many customers. I can still manage that myself. And I don't need to pay for support reps. I don't need to pay a customer liaison. I don't need to do that. Maybe I'll get there and want to do that. But I don't need to at the moment working for myself. And that's what I like. I know myself. I probably wouldn't make a great manager of people. That's not my forte, to inspire people, to be a leader. Hey, let's do this and all that kind of stuff. That's not my strong suit. And as a result, I know that hiring 10, 15 people is not going to be something that I'm going to be successful with. I want to just kind of keep it small and do my own thing. And if I price it high, I can get a certain type of customer who understands the value of my product, Sunshine Photo Cart, what unique aspect it brings compared to most of my competitors are SaaS. I was reviewing that. They're charging $10, $15 a month.
Oh, they're expensive.
And includes 100 gigabytes of file storage and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, they're probably making $1 a month on each one of those people, And so they need 10,000 customers to make money on that, where I'd rather have 500, 600. And do it this way. So, there's not one way to be successful for every single person in this area. And you also have to think of what is your definition of success. For me, it's finding a lifestyle as well. And that mental health stuff that we talked about, I know I will not be happy if I'm managing a team of 5 or 10 people, just like I know I'm not happy anymore doing client work anymore. So, that may change in 5 years from now for me. I may finally get burnt out on this in 5, 7 years from now. I don't know. But for me at this moment, that's what I'm happy doing. And I'm going in the direction that both makes me money, but also gives me a lifestyle to go sit in my hot tub at 10 o'clock in the morning, just because I feel like it. That sounds like a great time for me. I want to go do that right now for the next hour. That's what I care about and doing that kind of stuff. So.
I agree. One of my best friends, the one I was telling you I'm building a large e-commerce build for, he was originally a professional photographer. Mm-hmm. Actually, was one of the inside photographers for the Toronto Blue Jays baseball club back in the 90s when they won 2 World Series. He was there. Mm-hmm. And then he got out of that because, again, the money issue for photographers is very hard. We all know. And his dad was in the jewelry business, and he got into the jewelry business. He's been in the jewelry business for 30 years. He's a certified gemologist, and he's run a successful jewelry business, but it's because photography is so hard to make a dime. And it's gotten worse because we all now have good cameras in our pockets. So back in the day, if you wanted a family portrait, you were running into Sears or Kmart or Walmart and to their photo studio and saying, hey, do a photo shoot. Well, guess what? We do our own photo shoots now. Yeah. And that has changed it dramatically. I've even seen some weddings where the host basically set up a photo book and say, upload all your photos here, please, and go have fun. And they don't even bring a photographer into the wedding anymore. It's gotten that bad. And, some do, but I've seen many that haven't. And it's like, if you're in that space, and if you're a journalist, a lot of journalists also shoot their own pictures now. Mm-hmm. They don't send out a separate photographer. They do the story, the pictures. That's a little different because you've got a secure job. But even the media market is dropping off because of the changes going on in the world. So That's one business I would consider really hard to be in, frankly. It's just so hard.
Absolutely. And it's one of the challenges that I face is that I'm not actually a photographer. I mean, I built it alongside of someone who was a photographer, and that was the plan. Yeah. And obviously that didn't work out. And so now where I'm at, that's one of my biggest challenges is truly understanding where my customers are at. And, you know, I think about a month or so ago, I did set up and scheduled about 14 or 15 Zoom calls where I just met with my actual customers and did that. And that was one way to try and help overcome that, to learn where they're at, why, you know, what's going on with them and things like that. And it was a great thing. And it's something I plan on doing, but because I am not a photographer and talking with other photographers just within my day-to-day type, you know, friends and family, you know, type space, I have to make a purposeful effort to go reach out and talk to them to make sure I keep up to, you know, up to date on it and the pulse of it and what's going on. And I mean, it's what any industry or any person who has a product needs to do regardless. But when you're solving a problem that you have, it's a lot easier because you just know what the pain points are and how to solve them, because you are your, you could be your own customer. And so that's one of my challenges that I'm facing with this product at the moment.
Yeah. So with your products, what are you using on the back end to manage? Are you using like Freemius or digital downloads or something else to manage your licensing, or what?
Yeah, I've been using Easy Digital Downloads. I'm still, you know, a little bit of the old school type thing. I want to have a little bit more control over last little thing, how the checkout page appears and all that kind of stuff. So, so I'm using that. I'm using EDD to do all the licensing and the recurring billing and all this kind of stuff. I'm pretty happy with it overall. It's worked. Yeah. It's worked
well. A lot of people go one way or the other way.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with it. So.
What are you using to manage customer support, or are you?
Yeah. So I have Help Scout that integrates pretty well. So there's, you know, some EDD stuff that helps, you know, tie those two together. Help Scout is, it's been pretty simple, pretty straightforward for there as well. And then I last week switched to Groundhog for my CRM and email marketing.
Awesome. Adrian
is awesome. He helped me migrate over. And so I'll be, you know, what's funny is it was during Black Friday. I was kind of, you know, we just had got done with Black Friday stuff and I wasn't really buying anything, really thinking of doing anything. And then was like, well, you know, I kind of, you know, I was doing my own Black Friday emails and was, you know, and then got the notification from MailChimp. Guess what? Next month, your thing's going up again. And I'm like, God dang it. You know, you get that email every few months that your rate's going up. And then, you know, as I'm sending out those emails, I'm like, oh, maybe I should do that. And I, you know, saw something on Twitter and was like, well, let me check it out. And I think he reached out to me and we chatted a little bit. It's like, you know what? All right, let me dive in. Let's do this. And then, you know, so now, you know, it'll be, I don't know. I'm only like a week into it and I'm already really happy with it. So, just saving money and I feel more comfortable knowing that it's directly on my site, because then it can directly ping and pull the customers and all that kind of stuff. So, Adrian, I'm hoping to get a free renewal out of this or something with all this promo, but, I'm kidding. So far I feel a lot more confident, of using it going forward. So it actually inspired me now. I'm like, where else can I be, you know, bringing this on and having a little bit more control, and where can I be saving some money? Talking with GridPaint about my client hosting to go through there and reduce that. Where can I reduce a lot of my costs? I'm ditching Basecamp for my clients because I'm not doing clients anymore. So I'm actually going through this little, I need to purge all my subscriptions right now.
Good for you. Now, I'll share with an Adrian story you might not have heard. Adrian worked for his parents' digital marketing agency, where you might not know, called Training Business Pros. So his father, Paul, is a dear friend of mine and a mentor for me in this space for many, many years. And his mom, Nancy, they were the partners. Nancy was the COO of the chief operating officer of the company. And when Adrian was building Groundhog, I remember walking in the office one day for a seminar. Paul was in the teaching game for a long time, where he did like seminars on topics for a week at a time. And I was walking in and Adrian called me over and said, Rob, you got to check this out. You're in all this stuff. And what he was showing me was him in the early days of Groundhog, before he even released it, some of the stuff he was doing. They were the number one Infusionsoft keep reseller in Canada at one time. They're not anymore. And one of the reasons they got out of that is because of the direction Infusionsoft was going. They were not happy with it. But the one thing Paul always taught was the system, and the system you can take and drop into any marketing platform. And a lot of it was about organizing yourself. So I always say to them, I mean, I think the last time I saw Paul in person was in January of last year. We actually, Paul's an interesting guy. He's an ex-jazz musician. And we sat in his house. We ran into him in Niagara on the Lake. He's moved out to Toronto. And they invited us over for wine and a chat and catch up. And then he actually jumped on the piano and played a few songs for us. He's great. And so Adrian and I go back like a long way. And it's really wonderful to see him do what he's done. And he dropped out of university to do Groundhog, which is even more amazing. Like he's just such a bright young man. It's not even funny. So
yeah, it's been a great experience so far.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. He's big on customer service. I'm going that way in the new year. I was hoping to go that way this year. But you know what happens is the agency work gets in the middle of it and you end up shelving plans.
I mean, yeah, it's one of those things where my agency work, you know, and then it's just gone like this for a very long time. And it finally crossed that threshold where it was like, I could wake up in the morning and not purposefully, just because I didn't have any client work to do because it wasn't coming in anymore. I was just like, well, I can work on Sunshine stuff. So let me do that. And then it just was like, wait, I'm actually enjoying this now. And then, you know, and then started purposely going, starting every day, doing product work and then setting the client stuff to like the end of the day, or even saying, you know what, I'll get to you later in the week, even being like, I'll get to you, and you know, and set it aside for later instead of jumping on it right away. Cause like you said, with Adrian, customer service has been one of my biggest things. That's why I was so successful on the client side. And I've been bringing that to the product side as well with, you know, how quickly I respond to tickets, how in depth I do, you know, getting out updates, you know, like there was one little thing I love giving my money over to someone like Adrian, cause he did the same thing that I would have done, which I appreciate, where he was doing my onboarding and the EDD integration had a bug in it while he was walking through me on a call together. He's like, you know what, hold on. He was trying to fix it on call, couldn't quite get to it. Later that day, had it fixed, put a release out, let me know that, you know, I think it was that day or the next day that it was updated and I could finish importing all my EDD things because they EDD had made a change somehow that, you know, had caused a bug, but he was right on it, fixed it, released it. And I'm like, that it's cool to how I felt, go, okay, that's how my customers feel and why they keep coming back and stuff like that. So it's just validation to that. Customer support, it's been my strong suit. Where marketing maybe wasn't my strong suit, customer support and getting referrals, it's another way to do it. Yep. And I think it's
Tell you is customer support, good customer support is your marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
You become known for that because of all the amazing stuff. You know what, Derek? This conversation has been absolutely awesome. I hope we have many more. I'm sure we will. I really appreciate you and your time. If somebody wants to reach out to you about your photography plugin or any other one, how's the best way?
My photography plugin's at sunshinephotocart.com. And then my other ones are at wpsunshine.com, the confetti and address autocomplete, and a couple other free ones as well.
Yeah. And you're on Twitter as well. You're
Twitter under Derek Ashauer. Yep.
Yeah. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful day, my friend. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Rob. It's great chatting with you.
This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Derek for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show.
Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me at Rob Cairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much, and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast, and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.